Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Nathan Fleet, and this is Bridge the Atlantic.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. If you're new here, consider subscribing for more episodes. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter and filmmaker Marcia Novelli from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. When I'm not making music or doing this show, I'm producing records and directing music videos. Speaking of which, if you'd like to work together, hit me up on all the socials.
Before we jump into the interview, we just want to let you know that we are on Patreon and you can become a Bridger for as little as $1 per month. You'll gain access to our exclusive new Encore series featuring never before seen videos with our guests, and your support will allow us to keep bringing you weekly videos here at Bridge the Atlantic.
That's right. And you can also head on over to our website to pick up one of our shirts. If you use the coupon code BTARocks, you'll receive 20% off your order as our way of saying thank you.
Yes, indeed. And joining us this week from Marcio's neck of the woods is musician, filmmaker and educator Nathan Fleet. Nathan runs the Hamilton Film Festival and the entertainment production company Blue Pick Media.
As the director of the Hamilton Film Festival, Nathan is helping to grow, enhance and connect the filmmaking community in Hamilton and abroad. As a professional musician himself, he has helped almost 1 million musicians with his music lessons on YouTube. We're looking forward to getting to know more about Nathan and the advice he'd offer to his fellow creatives. So, Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be on.
We're glad to have you. Let's get started awkwardly right off the bat because it's fun like that. Tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Oh, God. I don't stop. I don't slow down. And I don't sleep a lot. I get every job done that I need to. So
I like that, Ross. You and I can really relate to that, can't we? That is short, concise, and to the point. It's perfect. I love it.
Yeah. Love it. Absolutely. So Nathan, I'd really be interested in finding out a little bit about how you got started in the creative industries and kind of what's led you to running the Hamilton Film Festival.
I got into, back when, you know, I was 6 years old and saw the first Star Wars movie, you know, that was what really kind of kicked things off for me, where I knew, you know, I wanted to do something like that, you know, make a movie. And at that time, I saw the movie maybe once or twice in the theater, but I listened to the soundtrack almost every day because I had the record and I could sit on the floor and I looked at all the panels in the album, and that was my movie at that time. I was just listening to the score and just watching the panels, and then I would do it again. I would look at all the pictures. And so that really got me interested in music and movies, that combination. So, but it was probably around the age of 12 where I thought, you know what, this is really what I want to do. And we would go to Canadian Tire and rent the VHS camcorders. I don't know if you guys probably know what VHS is, I'm assuming. I don't know how old you are.
Grew up with it. Did you guys have one of those?
We're young enough to not know.
I know. Yeah, of course. We had this massive. I was the videographer as a child, and the short story is that we had this big massive video camera with the VHS in it, and my mom would just let me go and record, you know, film family videos. But my family videos would start off with, like, you know, starting from the light bulb coming down over here and zooming in. My family would watch this and be like, what the hell are you doing? Just film the family. They didn't get it. You know, the bug was already there. So I can relate.
So you can totally relate.
Yeah.
That's what we did. Saved up our Canadian Tire money and went to the store and rented the VHS camcorder. You had to edit in camera. So, you know, if you're changing locations, you just take the camera to that location, film it, and then run back to that location to film, because we didn't know to edit. We just edited it all on. And then it was probably when I turned around 15 where I got more serious into music, got a guitar, started a band, and went through high school music. Went to Mohawk College in Hamilton and graduated out of the jazz program there. So music became my focus. Then out of college, I was interested in getting back into movie making. So I was trying to get into film scoring. And from, I didn't have anything to show for it. I didn't have any demos. So I thought, well, why don't I just make my own short films, score them, and then tell people that I'm a film composer. And that's exactly what I did. I made a couple of short films, and then I started telling people, oh, yeah, no, I'm a film composer. I did this movie, I did that movie, not telling them that I was the director of those movies. And they just, you know, take your word for it. They see a credit, and they take your word for it. And that was it. And I got started working in film and TV that way. And the jobs were small at first. I didn't just jump in and all of a sudden I was making all kinds of money. These were little jobs, little entry points. But then one thing leads to another. And then pretty soon you get a decent television gig or a licensing gig. And that's kind of how I got into that industry, the music and film side of things. And it was the Staircase Theater in Hamilton is kind of like a arts hub for all different art, movies, music, stand-up, that kind of thing, poetry, anything. And I came across their theater, and I went down one time, and I heard they were showing movies, and I volunteered to take tickets at the door. And then one thing led to another, and I got invited to the projection booth, and then one thing led to another, I was running the festival. So I just kind of got, you know, stumbled upon it, and then they saw that I had a great interest in it, and they said, you know, why don't you carry this over and take it on and, you know, program it the way you want. And then it was 3 years ago, I guess, on our 10th anniversary, that I asked the Staircase Theater if I could, instead of just running it, if I could actually own it, if I could take it over, take over all the financial responsibilities of the festival. And so this will be my third year actually owning the festival, but I've been running it pretty much since the beginning, since it started. But now it's my baby and my wallet and... But it's good. The Staircase is gracious enough to hand that over to me, and we still use that as our main venue. So it worked out to be a good thing. We've helped out a lot of filmmakers. We've expanded with the film market where people can come and pitch their ideas and hopefully get their films sold with some distributors that show up. So we have a lot of different eyes coming to the festival. A couple years ago, Fox was there and saw something at the festival, and they thought it, you know, what they saw has potential. So there's talks of a show being spawned off of something that was seen this is Hamilton. This is still, generally speaking, a smaller industry in that sense. There's no big studio here. There's no distribution companies here. So we've really tried to build a little bit of an industry here and get people to come to Hamilton without having us have to leave the city to go do the things that we want to do here. And the city's been supportive. Filmmakers have been supportive. We've grown. We're international now. Over 50 countries now send their stuff to us. So it's been a slow build, but a good one. So I hope that answers your question, how I got into the creative side of things and how I got into the film festival side of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, definitely. You kindly included my album documentary film, Walking Proof, in your festival. I think it might have been 3 years ago. It might have been your first year actually owning the festival.
Yes, that's right.
If anyone's interested, you can we'll put a link to it over here. You can go check out, and you can actually watch the whole film for free now online. That was fantastic. And the question I want to ask is really for any filmmakers watching right now. Can you go into what sort of criteria you look for inclusion in the festival? You know, how do you choose what is included and really who isn't?
The easiest answer I can give you is if it's a good film, we will find a place for it. What is a good film? That's a whole other question. So we have 6 programmers on the team, and we watch everything that comes in, because I know there's a lot of talk about festivals when they receive hundreds of submissions. They just take the submission money and they don't watch everything. We watch every single film that comes through. I have access to an online portal where I can make sure that everybody's watching, rating, making notes about every film that comes through. And it's really that when I talk to the programmers, I say, you know, watch a movie the way you watch any movie. Don't look at this as, you know, I really got to dissect this. Just sit back and watch it. And if there's something that interests you, then, you know, put that in your notes. Because it's a good chance if you like it, somebody else is going to like it as well. So that's really, the heart of it is just if a movie moves you, put that in your notes. If you think it's cool, put that in your notes. If there's something that grabs you, you know, add that, and there's a good chance it will make it to the screen. Now, what I think, it's almost easier to pick a movie that you, or to say why you picked a movie that you liked, but the harder thing is what we don't accept, right? Because that's what everyone wants to know, is my film going to be ready for this? And sometimes you know within the first few minutes that a film is just not quite festival ready. And I kind of liken that to your kid when they make a bunch of artwork for you, right? Not everything's fridge worthy. You know, your kid will make that picture that's the one that's going on the fridge. And they might, you know what I'm talking about. And others, you know, might just be a couple scribbles and you'll say, good job kind of thing. And I kind of think that is what some filmmakers should do, is look at their movie and say, you know, is this fridge worthy? Is this really the thing that I want people to see? Or is this something that I should just build upon? Because I've made a movie before that will never see the light of day. And I look at it and I realize that's, you know, that's not fridge worthy. That's not going on the screen. That was cutting my teeth. That was getting my chops ready. That was learning how to, you know, set up the camera. That was learning how to direct actors, but it's not meant to be put on the screen. And I think filmmakers would do more value for themselves if they really looked at their movie and said, you know what, this is not festival ready. Because when they do send those movies to us and they get rejected, they take it very hard and very personally, which they shouldn't, because that's just one film. It's just one person's opinion. But there are some films that just are not quite ready. How do you know if your film's not quite ready? The best thing to do is to research the film festival, look at past films that they've screened, go look at those trailers, go look online, go look at Marcio's documentary, Walking Proof, and you will see the quality of things we accept or the type of movies. And if yours does not stand up to that, then there's a good chance it might be put in the pass pile as opposed to being selected. Now, we do make sure that we have a good percentage of local. We always, you know, we want to earn the Hamilton in our title. So we make sure that we have screen time for even emerging filmmakers. So if they have a film that's not quite ready for the 300 seat Zoetic or something, we have the Elaine May Theater, which is more of a 50 seat theater where we might put emerging or new filmmakers in, just so that they can kind of see what their work looks like on a screen in front of some audience. But those are usually reserved for more local filmmakers as part of our kind of mandate to earn the Hamilton under title. Yeah, that's kind of what I can say on that about what we accept and what we don't.
Right. I think I was at the Zoetic, and yep. What a great place. What a beautiful, gorgeous place, yeah. By the way. And yeah, I really appreciated your support on that. That was actually my first film. It's actually my first film, but I collaborated with a filmmaker friend of mine on it, and we spent one full year nonstop, yeah, just doing that. And I mean, I think definitely people need to, I think they do need to understand you need to put the time in to make it, like, you know, I mean, obviously quality in, quality out, hopefully, garbage in, garbage out. So, I mean, you do have to start with something good. You have to start with an interesting story, you know,
yes.
And I do think that you need to carry that through and through the editing process and everything. But the funny thing is, you know, I've learned so much about filmmaking since then, and I didn't even understand color correction back then. Like, didn't and I don't think we really did any of that, but, you know, clearly you and some other people saw through just first story. I think at the end of the day, the most important thing is really a story, because you can have the big fireworks and tons of special effects. If there's nothing that interests you about what's happening, you know, other than, you know, titivating your eyes, you know,
yeah,
I think it's really,
absolutely,
because I've seen films definitely that are really low budget that interest me way more than films that cost 10, 20 times the amount. So, I mean,
yep,
that's just, but thank you for the support there. I really did appreciate that. Really.
Oh, great. Yeah.
That. All right. It's time for our lightning round. Are you ready for 20 questions?
I think so.
Let's do this. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
Oh, Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Indie or major?
Indie.
CD or vinyl?
CD.
Rhythm or melody?
Melody.
Education or experience?
Experience.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Canada or Scotland?
Canada.
Talent or attitude?
Talent.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Yeah, we know that.
I knew that one from the moment I looked at your Instagram. I knew that was going to be the one. Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Metallica or Motorhead?
Metallica by a little bit.
Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Ghosts or aliens?
Aliens.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Real question.
Michael Jackson.
Whale or kale?
Just a little bit.
No, Michael Jackson by a... Yeah.
Whale or kale?
Kale.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Bette Midler.
And your final, perhaps most important question.
Which, by the way, before you even answer this, I forgot to mention, I shot a music video at the staircase too. I mean, the connections we have, man, in the morning.
In the morning.
I shot it right next door. I think actually in between takes, I went to go say hi to you and you were teaching a class. You're like, yeah, hi. Can I get back to my class?
Oh, I was. That's right. I was teaching. Nathan.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm pandering too much.
So bearing that in mind, I mean, you can choose to bear that in mind or you can choose to discard that information before you answer the question. Ross or Marcio?
Let's go with Ross.
Oh my God. Ooh. You gotta be kidding me.
Backfired on you, Marcio. You know what? Backfired on you.
I love an accent. That's why.
Every time I pander. Oh my
Although
God.
Although I have an accent to you, of course.
Oh, you do.
It's probably not as pretty as his accent is to us, I feel.
Oh, guys, stop. Come on.
Oh my God. Nathan, oh, you're making me all heartbroken here.
Making
Man.
Me all embarrassed here. Oh God. So, on that note, or really, it's not on that note,
no, but
I'm trying to think of a good segue, and I can't think of a good segue because I'm all embarrassed now.
And I'm all sad.
Nathan, what advice would you offer to creatives on balancing multiple projects? So particularly for people who work in different creative realms, such as music and film, like what advice do you have for them to balance those?
I do balance quite a bit of things. I would say you really have to be organized and don't overestimate the amount of time you have to do things. Sometimes you think, I can do that. And then when it comes down to it, it's like, wait a minute, I actually don't have enough time. So I think just managing your time is really an important thing. And that can be as simple as, you know, I use paper calendars
yep.
with lines, and that's I can't use digital. That's what I do. I get a book and it has to be in front of me like that. That's what I do to organize my time. And I have a very hard time saying no to things, so I have to look for those little holes in my schedule to fit them in. That's really, it's just being organized. But you also have to have experience with things, right? You can't just take on jobs without having the experience behind it. So, take on jobs that interest you, that you think might take you to the next step kind of thing. And that will only help feed what you're going to be doing in the future, and adds experience. And don't be afraid to fail. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a that's a huge thing. You got to fail because that's how you learn. And the next year, like, no, I'm not going to do that again. Yeah. Am I getting away from what you asked?
No, I think that's perfect. Don't be afraid to fail, I think, is so important. I think I constantly need to have that reminder of that. I think the fear of failure can really hold us back. And I think if we're not afraid to fail, we'll just keep doing things. And eventually something's going to stick.
Yeah, I think to connect everything together, sometimes you need to fail at the time management thing to realize that your time management sucks and you need to try and work a different way.
Yeah,
so
for
it
sure.
all kind of connects and it all comes full circle.
And if you're trying to not fail, then what you're just doing is just repeating what has already worked. So you're not doing anything new. You're not innovating. You're not coming up with new ideas. So you got to step out there and try some things for sure.
I love that. Now, to everyone tuning into this right now, if you'd like to hear more from Nathan, you can head on over to our Patreon page to check out our exclusive Encore series, where we'll be chatting with Nathan about coming up with a practice routine in this special series is just for our patrons. So don't miss it. Nathan, where's the best place for people to connect with you online?
I'd say the best place is probably Facebook. That's where I'm the most active. And then, Instagram is great for cute pictures and And Twitter, I'm also, I do enjoy it, although it's not as powerful as Facebook, I don't think, for me. Right. But Facebook would be number one.
Sweet. So we'll put all those links in the show notes so people can easily grab hold of you and chat. And if you want more from us, as in Bridge the Atlantic, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Don't forget to check our website and pick up one of these shirts while you're there.
As for me, I'm working on my new solo album, and you can check out my music on Spotify and iTunes and just about everywhere and anywhere you like to stream or download music. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli.
And I am working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by 30 Roses, a virtual assistant and consultant to musicians and other creatives, and Social Surge. All links are in the description, so please check them out because they do what, Ross?
They keep the show alive. And if you would also like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. We have recently updated our rewards, which now include sponsorship at the start of our interviews, an opportunity for you to co-host an episode of Bridge the Atlantic. I know it'll be crazy. And of course, gain access to our new Encore series. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any episodes, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think of the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show, Nathan. You are a fantastic guy. Even if you picked Ross, I still love you.
Because you picked Ross. Because you picked Ross.
Because you picked Ross. In spite of, or is it despite of or in spite of? I don't know. One of those, we still love you. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. All right. We will see you on Encore.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.